Amen. Well, praise the Lord. This evening, I want to just start with a simple verse. Hebrews 13:6 says, "So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper." The Word of God tells us that we are to say, "The Lord is my helper." Everybody, the Lord is my helper. Amen. You know, usually when in our day, when we talk about somebody being our helper, we're talking about an assistant that doesn't really know how to do the job. So, you know, they're the helper, right? Well, today, AJ was my assistant while I was putting in a new sink. And, you know, when you're 65, laying on your back underneath the sink, you need a gopher. You need somebody that's good for, you know, going and getting things. They're okay. But AJ is really good at that. But I'm just telling you, I'm pretty good at laying on my back. And I do okay at walking. But it's that getting up and down thing. And it hurts. It's hard on me. And so, AJ, go get me this. AJ, hold this. AJ, anyway. But he's such a great assistant because, you know, he runs and gets stuff, literally runs. He came back today from getting something for me, and he says, "I'm so glad that my knee is better now so I can run and get stuff faster." Now, that's a good assistant. I just want you to know. But I also want you to know that that is not at all what we're talking about when we say the Lord is our helper. He's not our assistant. He's the one that steps in and does what we cannot do. Amen. It's a little more like when the child is, you know, they're trying to put a new toy together and they just can't quite do it. And so they come and they say, "Dad, can you help me with this?" Dad just became the helper. But here's the thing we need to know. You see, God is our helper because he always has the answers. He's our helper because he always has the power. He always has what we need. Whatever it is in life that we're facing or dealing with or going through, he's got what we need. He's our helper. And sometimes we don't like to admit we need help, especially men. It seems like we just don't like to admit it. I tell you, we've needed help for a really long time. It wasn't very far into the book of Genesis, just the beginning of creation. And God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And he created a helpmate for him. We've needed help a long time, guys, just saying. But we all need the Lord's help every day. There's just no way that we can do all that God wants us to do in this life without his help. Because I'm going to tell you, if you're doing it without the Lord, you're not really doing all God wants you to do, because it will always require faith for you to do what God wants you to do. There's always going to be faith involved. It's not just about us, but it is about God working in and through our lives. And I think one of the most important things that we need to get from this message tonight is that we need to always be looking to the Lord for help. Always trusting in him. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, we just need to know that we need the Lord's help. Psalm 54:4 says, "Behold, God is my helper." Whatever I'm doing, whatever I'm trying to accomplish, whatever. See, no matter how big or how small, God is my helper. And if we get a real understanding of this truth, we really get a hold of this down in the heart, not just the preachers up there talking about something, but you get a hold of this down in your heart, I want to tell you, it will raise your faith level. When you realize that God is your helper. And somebody, you might be thinking, "Well, he ain't helped me much." Well, you hadn't decided he's your helper then. Because I want you to know that this is available to every child of God. He is our helper. And if we get a hold of that, I'll tell you, we're going to see God move and work in our lives more and more because we're looking to him for help. And also, here's something else. See, The Bible says, Jesus said it himself, that if we stay in his word, then we really are his disciples and we'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. And I believe that this is a word that will make you free. It just makes life a whole lot better, just a whole lot easier when you understand that God really is your helper. In every circumstance of life, you need to know beyond any shadow of a doubt that the Lord will help you. You can trust him. And then you can enjoy life. I mean, you can just relax when you know there'll never be anything. There'll never be anything that you and God can't handle. That's right. Nothing that you and God can handle. And he is your helper. The Bible says this, Psalm 146, verse 5. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord. Happy. Everybody wants to be happy. I think everybody ought to be happy, happy, happy. Happy is he who has the God of Jacob for his help. Well, how does that work? Here's the thing. No matter what the situation, no matter what comes up, God can handle it. He knows what to do. He'll make a way. See, if we really know that he is our help, then we're going to be happy because we're trusting God. It doesn't matter how rough it looks, we know that he's going to take care of us. I mean, when things are beyond our control. See, that's when we get all stressed out and we get upset and bent out of shape. There's things in life that happen and, you know, we don't have any control over it. But nothing is beyond his control. And I just want you to understand, we really get a hold of this. The Lord is my helper. You can smile through it. You can be happy. Even when things are going wrong, you can still trust him. You don't have to worry. He helps us when we're in trouble, when we're in big trouble. Anybody in trouble? Now, if you don't think you need God's help tonight, well, just give it a few days. You'll figure it out. You find yourself in some kind of trouble. But when you're in trouble, Psalm 46, 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. He's right there with you when you're in trouble. Think about this, a very present help. He's not far away, and he's not even on the way. He's a very present help in trouble. And because he is, verse 2, therefore we will not fear. There it is, you see. When you know that God is your helper, that he's with you, you don't have to be afraid. We will not fear even though the earth be removed. Wow. The mountains be carried in the midst of the sea, its waters roar and be troubled, though the mountains shake with its swelling. He's talking about catastrophic events. And yet he says, we're not going to be afraid. We're not going to fear because the Lord is a very present help in trouble. When you're going through a terrible situation, remember, he's very present. I mean, when life is just at its very worst, that's the time you need to remember, he's right here. He's right here. See, it may not feel like it when you're going through some catastrophic event, but you need to remember the word of the Lord. He's a very present help in the time of trouble. When things get out of control, he's there to help us. There's a lot of things that happen in life that are more than we can handle. Things in any area of life. It could be at your job. It can be your finances. It can be your marriage, your health, or all of the above at one time. But here's the thing. God is still the one who can help you. It's amazing. You know, when you look for this simple little four-letter word, help, in the scripture, you just find it over and over and over again. And so often attached to such fantastic promises from God. And so I'm giving you a bunch of them tonight. And as I pray tonight, I hope that one of them really speaks to your heart. But the Word of God has such power in it to bring comfort, to strengthen our faith, and to put us over into victory. Isaiah 41, 10 through 13, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you." What a promise from the Word of the Lord. God says, "Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." You ever felt like you were under attack? Ever felt like everybody was against you? Dealing with a little paranoia, maybe. I've been there. But sometimes it just seems like the whole world can be against you. You ever been treated unfairly? Maybe by a boss or a teacher, somebody in power, and you just felt like there wasn't anything that you could do? Remember this passage. Verse 11, "Behold, all those who were incensed against you shall be ashamed and disgraced. They shall be as nothing, and those who strive with you shall perish. You shall seek them and not find them. Those who contended with you, those who war against you, shall be as nothing, as a non-existent thing. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand, saying to you, fear not, I will help you." Amen. That's the God that we serve. And what a fantastic promise that he gives to us here. That even when, listen, when all of hell is against you, you don't have to be afraid. He says, "Fear not, I will help you." Contrary to what the world says, he doesn't just help those who help themselves. By the way, that's not in the Word of God. It's amazing how people make up their own scriptures. God also helps those who can't help themselves. He helps the helpless. You know, one of the worst feelings in the world is to feel helpless. But as long as we're with the Lord, we're never really helpless because he's our help. We just got to learn to look to him. It's a story in Matthew chapter 15. I want to read beginning from verse 21. Jesus went out from there and departed to the region of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a woman of Canaan came from that region and cried out to him, saying, "Have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely demon-possessed." But he answered her not a word. Have you prayed? Didn't get a word? Nothing. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she cries after us." But he answered and said, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Now, if you've read the Gospels, you know that Jesus healed and helped a lot of people who were not of the house of Israel. So there's something else going on here. He's trying to bring this woman to a place of real faith and trust. Verse 25, "Then she came and worshiped him, saying, 'Lord, help me.'" Now, the word "worshiped him," this most likely is describing her bowing down at his feet before him. And she hears her simple prayer, "Lord, help me." It gets worse. I mean, what do you do when it seems like your prayers are denied? You worship and you keep praying. "But he answered and said, 'It is not good. It is not good to take the children's bread and throw it to the little dogs.'" Wow. Jesus said this. I want you to know something. Jesus loves this woman. And he loves us. And sometimes he doesn't do things the way we think he should, but he knows what he's doing. I really believe that Jesus is trying to bring this woman to a place of humility to truly believe. You see, she had to come to a place of real humility to truly believe. So do we. It works like this. Pride goes hand in hand with self-reliance. And for a lot of us, it's a thing. I can do it on my own. I don't need nobody. I can get it done. Pride and self-reliance go hand in hand. So do faith and humility. Amen. When we come to the place where we humble ourselves before God, we are ready to trust God. And I want you to hear me now. You see, when it comes to getting God's help, pride is a total distraction and wall. And listen, the Bible says, God says that He resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. And we don't really understand, know for sure exactly everything that's going on in this passage, but I really believe that's what's happening here. Is he tells this woman, it's not right to give the children's bread to dogs. She doesn't give up. She doesn't stop. She doesn't rise up. See, a lot of us, we rise up in pride. We say, well, I'm. We want to defend ourselves. Anybody? Sometimes what's keeping the Lord from stepping in and helping you with your marriage is pride is in the way. But she doesn't rise up in pride. She doesn't defend herself in humility. She makes her case. She says, yes, Lord, even the little dogs eat the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Then Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith. Let it be to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed from that very hour. She said, Lord, help me. Help me. And nothing can make you feel more helpless than a sick child or a child heading the wrong way. I remember those times when one of my children was sick. And I want you to know, I am very thankful for doctors and medicine, but that's not where our trust lies. We keep our eyes on the Lord, and however He provides, whatever, you know, He uses to make a way or whoever, but our eyes are always on the Lord. He is our helper. Helper. Did you know that's one of the ways that the Scripture describes the Holy Spirit? In the New King James Version of the Bible, it's in there several times. Jesus said it in John 14, 16 through 17. He says, and I will pray the Father, and He will give you another helper, another one, another helper. Well, who's the first one? Jesus. I will give you another helper that He may abide with you forever. Because Jesus is going away. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees Him nor knows Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and He will be in you. Jesus was telling the disciples that the one Himself who was with them is going to be in them in the person of the Holy Spirit. And we need to know this, that the Holy Spirit inside of us is our helper. He's not far away. He's with us all the time. We just need to quit ignoring Him and acknowledge that He's the helper, that we need His help. I got to say it again. Put aside the pride and say, Lord, I need your help. It's never, you know what, Lord, I got this. I know what I'm doing. I'm talking to some people right now. But the Holy Spirit is the helper that lives inside of us every day to help us with whatever we're doing. Whatever we're doing. Raising kids. At work. Driving down the freeway. We need help. Some of you think you're a really good driver. I want to tell you, it don't matter how good a driver you are when some not real smart person comes buzzing through a red light just as you were passing through. We need the Holy Spirit's help all the time. D.L. Moody said, you might as well try to hear without ears or breathe without lungs as to try to live a Christian life without the Spirit of God. See, the Holy Spirit helps us live for God because we all have weaknesses, faults, and flaws. That's right, six of us. The rest of you, pray for us. No, we all have weaknesses and faults and flaws, but the Holy Spirit, the helper, he helps us overcome. He helps us win. Amen. As a Christian, you know, we're all called to do things that we just can't really do on our own, like witness. I don't care how bubbly your personality, how good of a talker you are, without the help of the Holy Spirit, it's fruitless. See, we have to have the Lord's help in everything that we do. It's the Holy Spirit that empowers us to be a witness. If we're going to minister to anybody, Jesus says, apart from me, you can do nothing. We got to have his help, always. And I want to tell you the truth, no matter how many years I've preached, like 45 years, it doesn't matter. I still need his help every single time. In fact, I am more and more aware of it, much more than I was when I was young, how desperately I need the Lord's help every single time. I mean, by the time you've done something 45 years, you ought to know how to do it. You ought to be good at it. I need the Lord's help every single time. And you might have certain areas of expertise in your life, but I encourage you tonight to realize you still need God's help. And I wasn't saying I'm no expert at nothing, by the way. I don't want anybody to get confused about that. But we just need to always acknowledge his help. Let me give you a couple of things that we're supposed to do, and it can be really hard to do. Like, we've talked about this recently, loving our enemies. How can we do that? Well, it's just not hardly humanly possible without the help of the Holy Spirit. But it's through the person of the Holy Spirit that the love of God is poured out in our hearts so that we can love our enemies. That's how. You're struggling to do that? You need the Holy Spirit's help. Sometimes there are wrongs and things that happen to people that just seem unforgivable, just seems impossible to forgive. Well, there is a way that you can. It is through the help of the Holy Spirit. Maybe it's just too much for you. You say it's impossible, but it's not impossible if the Holy Spirit helps you do it. Now, this is really going to be out there. I've kind of alluded to this already, but you see, if you're going to be a good father or mother, a good husband or wife, you need the help of the Holy Spirit. And here's the thing. You see, when we start thinking, well, I'm good at this, I got this, you are headed for a fall. You need his help. This is how we're supposed to live this life. When we are living by faith, trusting God, always relying upon him, looking to him as the one who is our help. We just need to learn to acknowledge that we need his help because we all have weaknesses. Here's one that I know we all have, because the scripture tells me so. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses. What a great truth that is, just alone. The Spirit helps us in our weaknesses. You got any? He'll help you in every situation, with every lack, every shortcoming in life. What weaknesses do you have? If you don't know, ask your wife. She can list them out for you. That was a joke. I don't want to see a list when we get home. First For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. We do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. He knows how to pray according to the will of God. And when we pray according to the will of God, we know that we have the petitions that we've asked of him. Amen. You ever struggle with your faith? Maybe in certain areas you're trying to trust God, you're trying to believe God, but it's just hard. I want to tell you, the Holy Spirit can help you. He can help you get the unbelief out of your life. You want to believe, you're struggling to believe, you're trying to believe, but you know that there's some unbelief in there somewhere. I want to tell you about a man who asked Jesus to cast a demon out of his son. Anybody got children with demons that need to be cast out? Mark 9:22, the man said, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us." He's asking for help. That's a good thing to ask for. Verse 23, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." If you can believe, he's struggling to believe. How desperate a need when a parent is doing all they know to do. The Lord just wants him to believe. Immediately, the father of the child cried out and said with tears, "Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief." He recognized his struggle to believe, and he acknowledged his unbelief to Jesus. Be honest, be real with the Lord. He knows if you're struggling with your belief. But this man asked Jesus to help him. He said, "Help my unbelief." There's a prayer. You need help with your believing. When Jesus saw the people came running together, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, "Deaf and dumb spirit, I command you to come out of him and enter him no more." Then the spirit cried out and convulsed him greatly and came out of him, and he became as one dead, so that many said, "He's dead." But Jesus took him by the hand and lifted him up, and he arose. Help my unbelief. I don't think this man had any unbelief anymore after this event. Jesus can help your unbelief. Help you minister to others. Mark 13:11, Jesus said, "But when they arrest you and deliver you up, do not worry beforehand and premeditate what you'll speak, but whatever is given you in that hour, speak that. For it is not you who speak, but the Holy Spirit." You see, anytime that we're being used of the Lord, we just need to realize he'll empower us. He'll give us what we need. He'll help us get the job done. Now, I've kind of used this as an illustration at the beginning. Well, I just touched on it, putting a sink in, I guess. I don't know. But I've done some remodeling on the number of houses that we owned. And I did a lot of things I'd never done before. And some of them ended up being a lot more complicated and difficult than I thought they were going to be. And Carmen can tell you that it took me three times as long as I said it was going to be. But sometimes I just had to have help. And so I called somebody that knew what to do. And sometimes they loaned me a tool. They gave me the tool that I needed to do it and told me what to do. And then there were other times when they came over to help me. And there are other times where I just got out of the way and let them do it. You know what I'm saying? But here's what I want to say to you about that. You see, the Holy Spirit helps us do what we need to do. And he's got the tools to do it. He gives us the gifts that we need. Whatever it is, if we're being used of the Lord, he's well able to give us what we need to minister to somebody. And sometimes we just got to shut up and get out of the way and let him do it. You know what I'm saying? But we have a helper. There's somebody that always knows how to do it and what to do and has the power to get it done. The Holy Spirit. If we accomplish anything of real value in this life, I want you to know it'll be because God helped us do it. We don't have any lasting fruit without the Lord's help. But he helps us. He's always there. My favorite prayer, it's simple. Lord, help me. Lord, help me. I pray it when I'm preparing. I pray it right before I preach. Sometimes I'm praying it while I'm preaching. By the way, it's a good prayer. It's not by our many words that we are heard. Lord, help me. Some of you need to start saying it a lot more. How do you deal with your child? Lord, help me. How do you handle traffic? Lord, help me. How do you get everything done? Lord, help me. How do you figure this out? Lord, help me. How do you know what to do? Lord, help me. See, it just works for all kinds of things. I'm telling you, it's the prayer that works because he is our helper. And I want to encourage you tonight to learn to see the Lord as your helper in every situation. It pleases the Lord when we look to him as our helper. In Psalm 28 and 7, it says, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him, and I am helped. Therefore, my heart greatly rejoices, and with my song I will praise him." I think as a Christian, we just have opportunities all day long to trust God and just to learn to look to him to help us in every situation. And I want to encourage you to keep your eyes on the Lord. Look to him as your helper. Now, here's the thing. Sometimes God uses people. In fact, a lot of the time, God works that way in the body of Christ, where he uses people to help other people. But where people get into error and really miss God is when they start looking to other people or other things as their help. We got to always keep our eyes on the Lord. Let me just give you a couple of scriptures. It's just, well, they're just way too blunt, but that's the way the word is sometimes. Psalm 60 and 11 says, "Give us help from trouble, for the help of man is useless." I want to tell you, one of the reasons that people find themselves with no help is because they're looking to something else as their source instead of God. God may send somebody, but you need to keep your eyes on the Lord, not looking to man for your help. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Keep your eyes on the Lord. Psalm 121, 1 and 2 says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence comes my help? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth." You know, many times we just need to keep saying, "My help comes from the Lord." Just wait. Be patient. My help comes from the Lord. He knows exactly where we are, what our situation is, and he won't let us down. But we got to learn to rest in him and trust him, wait for him, take him at his word. When you're struggling, when you're weak, when you're having a hard time believing, you just keep trusting him, look into him, he'll help. I want to tell you a story tonight from the book of 2 Chronicles. It tells about a king, a good king, King Asa. It's chapter 14, by the way. He did what was good and right in the eyes of the Lord. He got rid of all the idols and all that kind of thing, and he commanded Judah to seek the Lord God and to observe the law and the commandment. And the land had rest. They had no war in those years because the Lord had given them rest. But here's the thing, you see, sooner or later, all of us, see, you might be in a time of rest. Sooner or later, we all have battles. And I'm going to read this part. It's 2 Chronicles 14, 9. "Then Zerah, the Ethiopian, came out against them with an army of 1,000,000 men and 300 chariots." This is in Bible times. An army of 1,000,000 men. There aren't very many armies in the world today with 1,000,000 men. They came with 1,000,000 men. "And Asa went out against him, and they set the troops in the battle array in the valley of Zarephath," something at that, whatever that is. "And Asa cried out," help me, Lord, to say these names, I don't know. And Asa cried out to the Lord his God and said, Lord, it is nothing for you to help, whether with many or with those who have no power. Help us, O Lord our God, for we rest on you, and in your name we go against this multitude. O Lord, you are our God. Do not let man prevail against you. And this guy knew what to pray. Lord, help us. Doesn't matter how few we are. Doesn't matter what the odds are. Doesn't matter what your chances are, if God is your helper. So the Lord struck the Ethiopians before Asa and Judah, and the Ethiopians fled, and Asa and the people who were with him pursued them to Gerar. So the Ethiopians were overthrown. They could not recover, for they were broken before the Lord and his army, and they carried away very much spoil. 2 Chronicles 15:1. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Obed, and he went out to meet Asa and said to him, Hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin. The Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. They had this great victory. Amazing how God brought victory to his people when they cried out to him for help. But in 2 Chronicles 16, Israel comes against them, against Judah. And this time, instead of turning to the Lord, Asa takes silver and gold from the house of the Lord, and he gives it to the Syrians to hire them to come and help them fight. He forgot. And I got to tell you, as a pastor, I see people forget all the time. God gets their life turned around, or he brings a victory in a certain area of their life. And it ain't long, and they just disappear from church. It's like they just forget. Somehow they forgot what God did for them. And that's what happened to Asa. He forgot that God had brought such great victory. This time he tries it the world's way. He's going to use some money, and it ain't really his money. It belongs to the house of the Lord. Well, I want to read it. 2 Chronicles 16, 7 through 13. And at that time, Hanani, there it is, the seer came to Asa, king of Judah, and said to him, Because you have relied on the king of Syria and have not relied on the Lord your God, therefore the army of the king of Syria has escaped from your hand. Were the Ethiopians and the Lubim not a huge army with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on the Lord, he delivered them into your hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him. In this you have done foolishly. Therefore, from now on, you shall have wars. He forgot. Don't ever forget. Let it just be burned in your heart. The Lord is my helper. Always give God the glory. Behold, Psalm 54:4, behold, God is my helper. The Lord helps me. Everything that goes right, everything that gets turned around, see, every victory, the Lord is my helper. I want you to understand something. It's not just when you had a great battle. It's when everything was going smooth. Why do you think things are going smooth? Sometimes people say, well, you know what? The Lord is never early, but he's never late. Here's the thing, though. You see, a lot of times, I think 90% of the time or more, he is early. We just never even knew there was a problem because God already took care of it. But we don't brag about our helper. We need to boast about him. We need to brag that the Lord helps me. All these things in my life, see, where I've got it good or I'm successful or things are going right, we ought to give God the glory for that. Oh, but especially when we've been through something, we need to tell other people We sang about it tonight. I've witnessed it. We need to tell other people, God helped me. See, you see somebody else going through something, you tell them, the Lord helped me, and he'll help you. That's the God we serve. He is our helper. Whatever we need, we look to him. Healing, finances, wisdom, direction, deliverance, peace, joy, helping your relationships, your business, your ministry. Hebrews 4:4-16 tells us, come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. You need help? I want to go back where we started. Hebrews 13:6. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. The Lord is my helper. Can you say it with me? The Lord is my helper. Now let's say it right this time, because he says, we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. Don't be shy about it. Tell people, the Lord is my helper. If somebody says, oh, you shouldn't brag, you say, I'm bragging on God. We're acknowledging that it is God who's at work in our life that helps us in every area of our life. We need to boldly say it so everyone will know that it's God and that he gets all the glory. Amen. Amen. Stand with me. We're going to pray.